So take this heart, Lord, I'll be your vessel.
Welcome to the teaching ministry of Reverend JFK Mensah, a seasoned Bible teacher with over 40 years of ministry experience. He is a pastor, a church planter, a missionary, and an international conference speaker. He is passionate about making Christ-like disciples worldwide. JFK Mensah is the General Overseer of Great Commission Church International. May you be transformed as you listen to the Word of God.
Was blind, but now I see. Oh, I can see now.
One out of every three human beings in the whole world claims to believe in Jesus Christ. 2.5 billion human beings. Now, Islam is the second largest religion in the world with 24.1%. Now, from the statistics, the third largest religion is those who say, I have no religion. They are now 16%. The fourth largest religion in the world is Hinduism. It has 15%. And is followed by number five, which is Buddhism. Buddhism is around 7%. And then we have folk religion like African traditional religion and, these tribal people's religions. They are roughly 5.9 to 6%. I am saying that if the number of people following you shows what a great leader you are, then Jesus is the greatest leader in the world. Because the number of people following him is the world's largest religion. How can you say the world's largest religion, the leader, is not a world leader? I don't understand. Look, Muhammad died at 62 years. He had 22 years to push his religion. Buddha died at age 80. He had 40 years to push his religion. Confucius died at age 78. And Jesus died at 33 and a half. He started ministry at age 30. He had 3.5 years to push his religion, and it's the world religion. If he had been given 10 years. Not only that, Jesus never used sword, AK-47. He never used gun, force. If we tell every Muslim, put down your gun, put down your sword, let's talk, you will see how many people will be Muslims. Jesus never used force. Everybody following Jesus is following him voluntarily. Is following him because you want to. This is why Christian parents don't force their children to be Christians. Because our religion is built on our Lord Jesus, who respected human freedom and free will and conscience. Are you with me? I am saying that Jesus was born in a manger. He died on the cross as a criminal. The Romans killed him as a criminal. His own countrymen rejected him. But today, he holds sway over more people in the world than any other human being. Not only that, the difference between Islam and Christianity is that we see pockets of countries where there are many Muslims, but we see Christianity in every nation in the world. And this is my first argument. I am ashamed that even our Christian writers who write on leadership, they don't use the name of Jesus and the example of Jesus for showing the world that no university, Harvard, Princeton, you name them, Melbourne, no university has produced a leader like that. If it is easy, they should try. Let Legon produce a leader for us who is like Jesus. No university has produced for us people with leadership caliber like the man born in a manger. So this is my first argument. Just the followership, the people following Jesus alone, that is an appeal that if you want to be a good leader, a great leader, a world-class leader, an A1 leader, the person to follow is Jesus. Because he is a leader. Are you with me? It's different if you come and you take a pistol and you say, bring your purse, and I give you my purse. It's different from when you talk to me and I take my purse and give it to you. Those two are different forms of leadership. One is called force. The other is called leadership. So, no Christian leader promotes suicide bombing and because it is foreign to the Christian principle of leadership. Amen? Amen. Number two, Jesus Christ is the greatest leader in the world because of the time which it has taken for him to be at the head of all civilization and wisdom, knowledge. He himself, we read it this morning, said in the Matthew 12:42 that a greater than Solomon is here. You can't beat Jesus in communication. Because in John 7:46, the soldiers who were sent to arrest him, they went to arrest. But when they listened to Jesus, they came back empty-handed. And the people said, hey, have you not brought back the man we said you should go and arrest? Listen to their answer.
The officers answered, no man ever spoke like this man.
They sent officers to arrest Jesus and bring him. And the officers came. And Jesus was preaching. And they listened to the sermon and went back empty-handed. Wow! No man ever spoke like... Look, communication. Why is the Bible and the New Testament the world's most read book? The New Testament right now has been translated into 3,000 languages. Why? No book in the whole of history has ever been translated like that. Why? Because the words of Jesus, when you listen to Matthew 5:6-7, the Sermon on the Mount, nobody will tell you that you are a fool. You see, because as you read, You see that even if you wanted to conjure words like that, you can't. You see, Matthew chapter 7 verse 28 and 29 said, when Jesus finished speaking, the people were astonished. Because here is a man and he's speaking with so much authority, not as the scribes. So, wow.
And so it was, when Jesus had ended these sayings, that the people were astonished at his teaching. For he taught them as one having authority, and not as a scribe.
He taught them as one having authority. Luke chapter 4, verse 32 and 36. Say, what? What new teaching? You see, his word was with power and authority.
And astonished at his teaching, for his word was with authority.
You see, when Jesus is speaking, you listen and you are like, this man, you either slap him, take stones to stone him and kill him, or you bow. Jesus has never given any human being the right to say he is 50% teacher. No. 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 Either you listen to him and you say, what? I have to slap this man. I have to kill him. Or I have to bow before him. He said, I am the light of the world. Anyone who follows me will not walk in darkness. John 8:12. He said in John 8:58, I am, before Abraham was, I am. He said John 10:30, I and the Father are one. He said in John 6:35, I am the bread of life. Anybody who eats me, you won't die, die. He said in John 11:25 and 26, I am the resurrection and the life. If you follow me, even if you die, I'll raise you up. And if you believe in me, you won't even die. When he finished one of his miracles in John chapter 5 verse 17 and 18, the Bible says the Jews were trying to make that why has he asked the man to carry his bed on Sabbath? And he told me, my father is working today and I'm also working today. And the Jews said, we are going to kill you because you are a man and you are making yourself equal to God. You can read that one, John 5.
John 5:17-18.
Good.
But Jesus answered them, my Father has been working until now, and I have been working. Therefore the Jews sought all the more to kill him, because he not only broke the Sabbath, but also said that God was his Father.
God was his own Father.
Making himself equal with God.
You see, the hearers understood him. They took stones. They said, must kill him. Jesus and his words and his wisdom is such that he doesn't give any human being the right to even examine what he is saying and fight it. Either you bow or you kill him. That's all. This is why his first sermon in his hometown, they wanted to kill him. Because after listening to him, you just want to kill him. Yes. He said in John chapter 6 from verse 53 to 66 that 56. Anybody who doesn't eat my flesh and drink my blood, you don't have any life in you. Eat my flesh. My flesh is food. Drink my blood. My blood is drink. And then my life will be in you. And the Jews say, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Are we cannibals and witches, wizards? And many of his followers left him. But the truth is that you and I are taking communion today because we believe him. Yeah. I am saying the reason Jesus is the greatest leader, communicator, and wise man in the world is that the words Jesus speaks are such that the claims are too high for any other leader who has ever lived to speak like that. Read Muhammad. Read Buddha. Read Alexander the Great. Read Napoleon. And see whether any of them talks like that. They cannot. You see? They can't talk like that. You take their books and read. You see uncertainty. You see that they are not sure. You see that they don't know where they are going from here. They cannot say that, you know, Philip was asking in John chapter 14, verse 7, that show us the Father and we shall be satisfied. And Jesus said, what an insult. What an insult, Philip. Have I been with you for so long you don't know me? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father.
John chapter 14, verse 7. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him.
Can you talk like that? Okay, let's read on.
Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us.
Mm.
Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father?
Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. If you have seen me, Jesus, you have seen the Father. If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Can you talk like that? I am saying that I am following Jesus because no man can talk like that. Either he is deceiving the whole world, in which case we should kill him because he's Satan, Satan's elder brother. Or we should kneel down and worship him because what he is saying is true and he deserves my worship. Number three, Jesus is greater than any leader in history because of his transformational leadership. Transformational leadership. The books are big now on what we are all calling transformational leadership. Transformational leadership means you change people and the place you are working at when you are the leader. You cause a change. You cause a transformation. Now, look at Jesus. Look, you see Jesus in the Bible. He meets the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman in John chapter 4. After talking with her, the woman left her water pot and went into the city and said, come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Is this not the Messiah? Come, oh, come. In Luke chapter 19, he was passing through Jericho and a certain short tax collector called Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus. But because he was a palahala, he was so short, the crowd, he couldn't get any space to pass to see Jesus. So he rushed forward and climbed the tree. And Jesus got there and said, Zacchaeus, come down. I'm having lunch with you today. And when Zacchaeus came and joyfully received him, he said, Lord, from today, I won't cheat anybody. No kalabule, no fraud, no bribery, corruption again. I'm going to give half of my property to the poor. And anybody I've cheated, I'll pay back four times. If that's not change, I don't know the meaning. Acts chapter 4, verse 13 says, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and knew that they were unlearned and ignorant papashakwa, they took knowledge that they had been with Jesus.
Acts 4:13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled and they realized that they had been with Jesus.
You see, this verse is not from the friends of Jesus. It's from the enemies of Jesus. You see, because Jesus was working with fishermen. The Greek word used there is idiotai. It means idiots. You see, yes, that is why the Akan Bible says papa shakwa. Jesus was working with riffraff, chaff, ignorant, unschooled, untrained men, fishermen. And when you meet a fisherman, the smell of fish is always around him. But Jesus built the world's greatest religion on fishermen. He changed them. He changed them. He changed them. He changed them. You see, just walking with Jesus changed them. I don't have the time to tell you about Mary Magdalene, the woman with seven demons. She met Jesus and she was changed. Last at the cross, first at the tomb, when Jesus rose from the dead, would you expect him to appear to a woman who has seven demons? He changed her. He changed her. Look at Paul, Saul, who became Paul. Medrus guy. But look, today, in addition to Jesus, the person who is molding the church most 2,000 years now is Paul. Talk about change. Many of our politicians, they are managers, not leaders. Because they come and say, yes, what do you want to eat? So, we are 50 here, 45 of us want to eat fufu. Okay, fufu. That's managing, not leading. A leader moves people from where they are to where the vision is. That's leadership. You see, because you are trying to lead them to a better future, a better tomorrow. So you don't just satisfy them and do what they want to do. Otherwise, they cannot change. You see, when Jesus met Nicodemus, look at him afterwards. You can see from the groups of people who met Jesus along the way that, wow, Joseph of Arimathea, the people who met him, and you are like, yes, this is it. If I were thinking of building a world-class religion, which will last forever, I won't use fishermen, but an expert who knows how to change people can start with fishermen, because he has the skill, the master plan to transform people. And he's showing you that if fishermen can become pillars for the world's largest religion, you too, I can make something out of you. But number four is servant leadership. Servant leadership. Today, you see the books and they are all talking about servant leadership. But they try to give the credit to some authority, some professor in some university who they are the people who have written the most on servant leadership. They, my brother, my sister, the person who brought servant leadership into this world is Jesus Christ. Oh. He said in Mark chapter 10, The passage is a little long, but bear with me. Let's read. Okay, take it in the middle. Take it from verse 42 to 45. Mark chapter 10. Yes.
Mark chapter
10
verse
42 to 45.
But Jesus called them to himself and said to them, "You know that those who are considered rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you..."
It shall not be so among you, because I'm bringing a new kind of leadership. Yes.
"But whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant. And whoever of you desires to be first shall be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many."
You know, the night before Jesus was arrested, we are told in John chapter 13 that Jesus took off his robe and took a towel, tied it around his waist, and started one by one washing the feet of his apostles. When he came to Peter, he said, "My Lord, don't try that with me. Don't try that. You will never wash my feet." And Jesus said, "If I don't wash your feet, you have no part in me." He said, "Oh, then not only my feet, my head, my shoulders, my..." Wash everything. Then Jesus said, "Oh, the one who has bathed, he needs only to have his feet washed. And you don't understand what I'm doing, but when I finish, I will explain." And when he went round and finished, he sat down and explained to them, "You call me teacher and Lord. You are right, for so am I. If I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, then you too wash one another's feet." Can you believe it? The King of Heaven, the Lord of Lords, before he was born, he was Lord. And the day he was born, the angels came to celebrate his birthday. And they said, "Unto you this day in the city of David is born Christ the Lord." Even in the manger, he is Lord. Not only Lord of human beings, but Lord of angels. He didn't come to die for them, but they rejoiced and called him Lord. If Jesus washes the feet of fishermen, his followers, no leader does that in the world. When you are a leader in the world, you want people to know that you are. Have you ever seen Jesus with an armed guard? No. He moves one to another. He is first and foremost a servant leader. Let's read Luke chapter 22, verse 27.
Luke 22, 27.
Oh, okay. He said that, "Which is greater, the one who sits at table to be served, and the one who serves him? Which is greater? Is it not the one who sits at table to be served? But I am among you as one who serves." And whenever they were eating, it is Jesus who serves. This is how the disciples on the road to Emmaus, this is how they recognized him. Because he served them. And then he vanished. So even after his resurrection, he prepared breakfast for his disciples. The men who don't know how to cook breakfast.
Luke chapter 22, verse 27.
No, it's okay. Because of the time. But I want to say that the leadership style of Jesus, servant leadership, is unequaled. This is the reason why when you move from Christianity to any other society, you see that there is a big change. In Ghana, for example, our chiefs are carried in a palanquin. And they dance in the palanquin. People carry them on their shoulders because he is a chief. In Christ, some pastors transfer that into the church and let the church members see them as chief. But Jesus said, among you, it shall not be so. Then, let me give, okay, for the sake of the time, let me give you my last one. That is, Jesus is chief and the greatest leader on this earth because of his character, integrity in character, exemplary living. When you compare Jesus to the other religious leaders, nobody tells you that, please, make your choice wisely. Because Muhammad had 17 wives. One of them was 9 years old. Jesus never married. And there is no smell of sexual immorality around Jesus. You see? You need to know that the people who walked with Jesus, John, he said in 1 John chapter 3 verse 5, that Jesus appeared to take away sin. In him is no sin. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11, 21 and 22, this is why you have been called. Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example that we may walk in his steps. Who did no sin? Hebrews 4:15. Jesus was tempted in every way like us, yet without sin. Paul, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 21. He who knew no sin, God made him to be sin for us, so that we will become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. The scriptures are very clear that the eyewitnesses who walked with Jesus could see that in his character there was no guile. That's the one which beats me. No lie in his mouth. That's what Peter said. No guile in his mouth. Boss man, no fear, tire man. You see, when you are working with somebody, he's on the mobile phone. You are in Ayimensa Bible College. They say, hello. Hello. Right now I'm in Kumasi. And, I can't come because... So your friends, your children, your relatives know you are a liar. They know because of what you have been saying on the mobile phone. But people outside can respect you. But because they don't know what you say on the phone. Jesus, the eyewitnesses who walked with him, John, Peter, they are saying in his mouth is no lie, no sin on him. And in every court of law, the eyewitness account is the strongest. I am saying that I am following Jesus rather than any other religious leader because of his character, because of his integrity. I look at how he lived. How? Look at the guy. You see, with so much spiritual power, but he is healing beggars, lame people, the poor. You look at him and you are like, this guy, if I had such a power, I would, like, you just walk to Julius Caesar's place and then heal his grandmother. And then, they will give you a horse and a chariot and you now, you are nobody's equal. But here is Jesus using his power simply to help blind Bartimaeus. You see? Look at him. His character amazes me. I want to be like that. Look at his love. Look at his compassion. You see? In Luke chapter 19, verse 41. They carried Jesus on a donkey and they were spreading cloth and say, Hosanna, Son of God, Hosanna, prophet from... And he was weeping over the city of Jerusalem while people were hailing him. Look at him. The more I study Jesus, the more I want to be like him. The more I see that that type of character is what I really desire. Look at him. Philippians chapter 2 verse 6 says, he took the form of a bond slave. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Wherefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee in heaven, on earth, under the earth should bow and every tongue should confess Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Well, these are a few of the reasons why Jesus is simply the greatest leader who has ever walked this earth. 2,000 years now, he's strong. Africa alone, 30,000 people are becoming Christians every day. Because when you meet him, nobody tells you to submit. All these professors and lecturers and politicians who don't go to church on Sunday and they go and play golf, when they die, they want a church funeral, not a golf funeral. You see, all of us know that the type of respectability which is attached to just being close to Jesus is something. All our orphanages, all our leprosaria, most of our institutions of mercy, NGOs, and family and all stem from Jesus. More songs have been composed for Jesus. More books written for Jesus. More people prepared to die for Jesus. More chapels built for Jesus than any other human being. Because he is the greatest leader who has ever lived. May I submit to you that from this retreat, let Jesus be your model. And the leadership staff at your workplace, in your school, will surely come to you. Shall we be on our feet? Jesus was the greatest leader. He has influenced the greatest number of people in history. We are his followers. We are his disciples. We want to be like him. We want to be servant leaders like him. We want to love like him. Why don't you speak to the Lord this morning?
Jesus.
Just speak to the Lord. Say, Lord Jesus, I want to be a servant leader like you. I want to serve in leadership. I don't want to lord it over those that I lead. I want to obey your commandments. That we should not lord it over those we lead, but we should be servant leaders. Help me, Lord. Help us, Lord. Help us. Help us, Lord. 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 Help that the Lord will give us wisdom. That just as they said of Jesus, no one ever spoke like this man. We'll have the wisdom of heaven. That when we speak to souls, souls that are perishing, when we witness to many, their hearts will be drawn to Jesus. Let's speak to the Lord now. Let's give us wisdom. Wisdom that we can so that we can speak like that God's spirit will so transform our lives that when people look at us, when they look at our character, they will know that we are children of God.
Yes, Lord.
So we begin to pray
Jesus.
Now. The spirit of the Lord will put so much passion in us for God.
Jesus.
That we will make Jesus' business our business in Jesus' name.
Shall
we
Jesus.
Pray? Thank you. Thank you for these hard truths that you have spoken to us through your servant. We pray that conviction will come. Conviction will come. Conviction will come. That will resolve in our hearts. That we will serve as you said. In the name of Jesus, that we will search wisdom and get the wisdom of heaven. That when we speak, they will know that we are children of God. We pray, Lord, that you transform our character. That we will be so much filled with integrity. That wherever we are, whatever we do, irrespective of the circumstances, we will stand for Jesus. This is our prayer. This is our request through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Follow JFK Mensa Ministries on Facebook and YouTube and invite others to listen to his podcast. You can also access some of JFK Mensa's books and keep up with his ministry at www.jfkmensaministries.org. God bless you.